Heavenly Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus to hear your word. I thank you that the word of God is living, breathing, alive, speaking to us today, ministering to us today, helping us with everything that is going on in our lives today. And Father, I thank you. It is our time to thrive. It is our time to thrive, not just survive. It is the time for the church to rise up and take her place, take her dominion, take her authority, walk in that place of love that we are destined to walk in. It is our time to thrive in Jesus' name. It is our time to thrive. And we honor you and praise you, Father, for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Are you believing with me today? Are you agreeing with me today for utterance in the Spirit of God? Yes. Are you listening to the Word today? Yes. I want you to say this after me, and we may do this at the end as well, but let's make this declaration of faith. I settle this today. It is my time to thrive, not just survive. I am not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm not going under. I'm going up higher. It is time to thrive. We are prospering, flourishing, succeeding, advancing, and increasing. I may be in this world, but I am not of it. I am separated from the curse, joined to the blessing. Now, do you believe that today?
Yes.
Praise God. Open your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 17. In my session today, I'm talking to you about it's our time to thrive, not just survive. And as I've been preaching this and ministering, this has become quite a revelation in my life. It's been a revelation in our church, in the body of Christ, that no matter what kind of economic times we face, good, bad, up, down, all around, we are destined by God to thrive, no matter what is happening. Heaven's economy is in good condition. Heaven's economy is strong today. And you and I need to have a revelation of walking in heaven's economy, walking in heaven's system, not earth's system, but walking in the realm of the supernatural. I've been listening to Brother Hagin on tape, cassette tape, here a lot recently, just taking some of the old cassette tapes that I have. He mentioned something, just one little thing. This will help pastors that are in here today. But he mentioned something the other day that I've just been thinking about, meditating on. He said, pastors need to learn how to pastor their church supernaturally. Need to learn how to pastor supernaturally. And I believe that when we learn how to pastor supernaturally, it takes all the fuss out of it. It takes all the pressure out of it. It takes all the drag out of it. And it makes it quite an exciting experience. We need to know how to live supernaturally, to live in the realm of the supernatural. So this is a scripture, John chapter 17, that I wanted to start with today. And this is Jesus praying for us before he was leaving to go to heaven. And I'm going to start in verse 13 here. And he prays this, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I've given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. Pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." There's a word from the Lord that he gave to me at the end of last year, coming on over into this year, facing the economic situations that we have been facing. And he ministered to me that it was our time to thrive, not just survive. We thrive. Say, I'm thriving.
I'm
Say, I'm not just surviving, I am thriving. When you look up the word survive, it means to just barely get by. Just barely scrape by, to exist. I heard in one of the conventions, somebody gave the definition of a survivor. A survivor is one step above dead. That's what a survivor is. And it means to barely get by. How many of you ever watched those television programs, Survivor Man, or one of those programs where those guys are out there, they drop them in the middle of some forsaken place, and they have to live off the land. They have to eat whatever insects that they can find. I mean, it is amazing what they go through out there. That is surviving. That is surviving. And some in the body of Christ have a survival mentality. They have a just barely get by, just barely squeak by mentality. We need to change that mentality to a thriving mentality. How many of you have your own businesses? Let me see your hands. Your own businesses. Keep your hands up. I want to see them. Hands all over this auditorium. Your business is thriving. Now, as your man of God in this hour, I am declaring that your business is thriving. You are not just barely getting by. You are not just surviving. Your business is thriving. Now, I speak that over the rest of you, for your households, for your jobs, whatever it is that you're involved in, you are thriving. And you need to develop a mentality of that. I am thriving. This is my year to thrive. Terry and I are doing better this year than we ever have. This is the best year that we've ever had. It's the best. 2010 is going to be better. But 2009 is looking good. It's really looking good. Why? Because we're thriving in the Lord. There is not only available to us God's written word that gives us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. We also have the prophetic word, which should follow in line with the written word. The prophetic word must fall in line with the written word. And there is a prophetic word for this day and hour that you and I are living in. And it is that we are thriving. We are blessed. We are blessed. And we are walking in the blessing of God. I'm walking in that blessing 24 hours a day. No matter where I go, no matter where I am, no matter where I live, I am living in the blessing. No matter what neighborhood I am in, if I'm living in a not-so-good neighborhood, the blessing on my life is affecting that neighborhood. It's changing that neighborhood. You and I are here to occupy until Jesus comes. We are not here to hide out. We are not here to just scrape by. We are here to occupy. We are an occupying army. We are an occupying force. And we should be occupying and we should be thriving. And I believe we are. I believe we are. Now, I gave you the definition of survive, barely get by. It means to exist. But the word thrive, the word thrive. I like the way the Lord deals with me. He gives me simple, He'll give me two words, two little words that just change everything in my life. And He gave me the word thrive. And the word thrive, you can write this down. The word thrive, in the Hebrew, the Greek, it means to prosper. It means to flourish. It means to succeed. We are succeeding. You and I are succeeding. I like this one. It means to grow vigorously. It means to grow vigorously. And finally, to increase in goods, to increase in goods, estate, and stature. To thrive means to prosper, to flourish, to succeed, to advance, to grow vigorously, to increase in your goods, your estate, and your stature. I believe your estate is growing. I believe your estate is growing. Your estate is getting stronger and stronger every day. Your retirement accounts are building up stronger and stronger every day. There is a working of the Holy Spirit in our lives that supersedes what is going on the earth. Now, that's what I want to talk to you about. We'll get further into this, but let's look again at John 17. We read this scripture. He says in verse 14, I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You might want to underline that in your Bible. They're not of the world. We are not of this world. And you've heard this said before, we may be in the world, but we are not of this world. We are really of another world. We are of heaven. We are of God. We are in Christ. We may be in this place, but we are certainly not of it. And that's what Jesus was saying here. We're not of this world's system. And then in verse 15 it said, I pray that you should not take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil that is in the world. Don't take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil that is in this world. Here, write these scriptures down for reference. Matthew 6:13, Jesus was praying. He said, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Galatians 1:4 says, delivered us from this present world. Delivered from this present world. And then 1 John 5:18, the wicked one touches him not. How many of you are tithers? There's tithers in here. Let me see your hands. Do you know that tithing is an insurance policy for your finances? Do you know that your tithe, the 10% that you give, is protection over the other 90%? I don't know how many of you have ever been involved in a deal that's gone bad. If you've ever been involved in any kind of an investment situation, and you maybe you lost money in that investment situation. I know we have. We've done several of those things. But you know something? God always gets that money back to us. No matter what mistake we make, no matter what we do wrong, if we are walking by faith, walking in love, and if we are tithers, then our money is protected. Say, my money is protected. I don't lose anything. Now, we've made mistakes before. We've all made mistakes. But we've gotten it all back. Plus some. God restores. He is in the restoring business. He will restore to you anything that the devil has stolen out of your life. He'll restore it back to you. I say it's restored in Jesus' name. I say that's heaven's system. The world system says, I lost it, it's lost, it's gone. Now that's somebody talking who is of this world. They're in it and they're of it. And they say, well, I invested this, I lost this, it's gone. Not with us. It ain't over till we say it's over. This game is not over until we say it's over. We are not quitters, as we've heard today. We are pressing on and we are moving forward. And so the wicked one cannot touch us. Jesus said, don't take them out of the world, but keep them in a place. In a place. You and I are in a place. Some people don't realize it. Some people don't know it. Some Christians don't know it. But you and I are in a place on this earth. We're not of it. We're in it. But we are in a protected place on this earth. Now look at this in verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So really what he's saying here is sanctify them from the world through the word of God. We are sanctified from the world with the word of God. Now when you look at the word sanctified there, it means to separate out from or to be divided away from, to be cut away, or you could even say rescued from the effects of the world. Sanctify them from the world through thy word. Sanctify them. Set them apart. divide them out from, cut them away from the world's system based on the Word of God, based on our study and our stand in the Word of God. He cuts us away from the world. Now, let me give you a statement here. It is the will of God for us to thrive in these times and not just survive. It is the will of God. Can you agree with me on that? It is the will of God for us to thrive in these times and not just survive. Here's the question. How can that be so under the current economic and political conditions? How can that be so that we would thrive considering the current economic situation? We're all in the same boat together. Not really. The answer to that question is a fearless believer standing firm on the word of their covenant can face the same conditions as the world, yet experience different results. I'll read that again. A fearless believer. Are you fearless? Give me a fearless sound. A fearless believer standing on the word of their covenant. Oh, I like the sound of that. That just tastes so good. Standing on the word of our covenant can face the same conditions as the world, yet experience different results. So the main title to this message is, It's Our Time to Thrive, Not Just Survive. That's the main title. Subtitle. Would you like a subtitle? Same conditions, different results. Same conditions, different results. I wrote this down during, I believe it was during Kelly's service last night. I made this note down. She said something that just really sparked something on the inside of me. I wrote this down. You can thrive even in what the world considers to be a depressed economy or even a depressed part of the country. You can thrive in the midst of that, right in the middle of it. And you can really change your surroundings around you. Honestly, that's what churches are called to do. We are called to change the surroundings around us. We are called to lift up the neighborhood. We have jurisdiction, pastors, in that area that we are in. We've been given spiritual jurisdiction in that area or dominion in that area in which we live. We have an effect nationally. We have effects on our state. But the closer in you get to your own territory, so to speak, the stronger that influence is and the greater influence is. And we are called by God as churches to preach the message of prosperity to our people in order to lift them up, in order to lift up the surroundings around us. You can take authority over the drug dealers around your church area. You can take authority over corruption. See, that is being in the world, but not of it. We are influencing it, and you can influence your world around you. You can thrive even in what the world considers to be a depressed economy or even a depressed part of the country. And so this fearless believer standing on the word of their covenant, they can face the very same conditions as the world is facing, yet experience different results. I want you to look over with me to the book of Exodus. Let's dig around this for a little bit. The book of Exodus, starting in chapter 8. Same conditions, different results. Same conditions. There is an economic condition that is going on right now. But you and I should be experiencing different results from the world. The world is talking about how bad it is and how bad it's going to be. We, on the other hand, even though we're facing the same conditions, we, on the other hand, are declaring and proclaiming how good it is, how sweet it is, how sweet God is in our life, how good God is in our lives. And there really is, like Jesus said, there is a sanctification from the world system. There is a cutting away of, a separation from, to where the covenant believer, those that have a covenant with God, are thriving in the midst of what someone might call a depressed economy. Say, I'm thriving. Not just surviving. Same conditions, different results. Now, there's a really good example of this. Now, I'm going to mention this too. The N1H1 virus, they're really pushing for a pandemic. They're really pushing for that. You and I are living in the same condition of the nation, but based on our covenant, we get different results. We get different results. That thing, that swine flu, will not touch my family. Now, you need to be standing on the word concerning that, because they are shouting it from the housetops. And there's going to be an element of that that we see, because they're talking it and they're talking it big. But we as believers cannot allow our tongue or our confession or our believing system to go that direction. I refuse. I refuse the swine flu. We inoculate ourselves with the 91st Psalm. We stand on the Word of God. We believe it. It will not touch us. Swine flu will not touch us. I am separated out from that. Do you remember, I guess it was a month or so ago, there was talk about people sneezing on airplanes. And there was a fear that people started having of flying because of somebody sneezing. So what if I'm on an airplane? Am I susceptible to that? No. 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 Someone sneezes. And all that germ stuff comes out and it starts going through the cabin of the airplane. And it comes up to me. And it goes, that's what it does. It cannot touch me. See, same conditions, but different results. I remember some years ago that Sister Gloria was preaching in the afternoon. I think it was healing school, and it was in Florida. And they were in a dome, and there were tremendous storms outside. Conditions. Storm conditions. All of a sudden, Gloria is standing at the podium, and there are little drips of water hitting the podium. She looks up, and there's a hole up there in the ceiling of this dome. What had happened was that there was a tornado that touched down on top of the dome. But it immediately pulled up, back, and away. I know what happened. That tornado... I could do a demonstration of a tornado. That tornado, that's a good one. Ha! 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 And it comes up to the dome. Ha! Ha! The evil one touches us not. Say, I'm delivered. I am sanctified from the conditions of this world. That is why it's so important that you be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Don't be at a bar at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have heard of people before getting beat up and shot at bars. They announce it on television. So-and-so got shot at a bar at 3 o'clock. Well, you know... That's not the most sanctified place to be at 3 in the morning. So you be at the right place at the right time. It really, to do this, of course, I don't have time to get into all of this today, but really to do this, we have to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. For us to be where we are supposed to be at all times. At all times. Being sanctified from this world system. And in the book of Exodus, let's read a couple of examples of this. Look at Exodus chapter 8. Exodus 8, It says in verse 20, "And the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh. He comes forth to water, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee." I've been listening to Kenneth and Gloria preach on that these last couple of weeks. I think it was Gloria that talked about her translation, said blood-sucking beasts. That's what it was. Scary stuff. Blood-sucking beasts upon you and upon thy servants and upon your people and into thy houses and in the houses of the Egyptians shall be swarms of flies or blood-sucking beasts, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever. Underline the word sever. That's what we're talking about here. Same condition, different results. Sanctified, cut away from, delivered from, severed away from. I will sever in that day. Does anybody else have any other translations that use the word, another word for sever? What over here, what? Set apart. What about in this section? Division. It will be very different. Oh, that's good. That, what is that one? New Living. It will be very different. How about over here? Clear distinction. Woo! I like that. There will be, what's the whole thing say right there, Kelly? I will make a clear distinction between my people and, go ahead, and your people. This miraculous sign will happen tomorrow. I've got to get those. I've got to write those down. A clear distinction. There is a distinction between us and the world. Man, that's why it's so important we get out there and preach to them, minister to them, get them into the kingdom as quickly as we possibly can. Because there is a clear distinction. Same condition, different results. The Egyptians had these blood-sucking beasts, and the children of Israel did not. There was a severance, there was a division, there was a clear distinction between the two. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the result that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. So verse 23 there says, I will put a division, or my cross-reference in the Hebrew says a redemption. A redemption. I will put a redemption between you and the world. There is a redemption. What Brother Copeland calls the wall of redemption. The wall of redemption. The wall of separation. There is a supernatural wall of separation. It reminds me of Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law so that we might walk in the blessing of Abraham. Christ has, in other words, has separated us or made a distinction for us, or he has set up a wall of redemption separating us from the curse of the law and exposing us to the blessing of Abraham. There is a difference. And we're living in a time where we have conditions going on. And do not for one moment accept those conditions in your life. You are separated out from those conditions. You are separated away. That's the place that you hold positionally in Christ. We have been raised up with Him, and we have been seated with Him in heavenly places. That is where we are spiritually right now. Take your place. Take your place. Whenever the temptation comes for you to say that we're being affected by this economy and so forth and so on, say, no, there's a clear distinction here. We are thriving, we are prospering, and we are growing vigorously. Glory to God. Look at this in chapter 9. In chapter 9, verse 4, and the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of evil, of Israel, rather. Now, you read back up into that a little bit. The Lord's telling Moses to go to Pharaoh, let my people go. If you refuse to let them go and you hold them still, said, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon your cattle, which is in the field, horses, asses, camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. What is that word, Terry, in the Amplified? Grievous murrain. That's verse 3 of chapter 9. What's severe? A severe time. The Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. There shall nothing die of all that is in the children of Israel. Now listen, we're talking about, for instance, N1, H1, swine flu virus coming out. We're not touched by that. We are not affected by that. That doesn't touch us. Steve, come on up here. I want you to help me with a demonstration. And I know my brother-in-law, Steve Swisher, he's a good sport. And we are the pastors of the family, aren't we? Okay, I want to do a little demonstration over here, if you'll help me out with this. I am, let's see, which one do I want to be? I'm going to give you the benefit. I'm going to let you be the Israel cow.
Okay, thank you.
I'm going to be the Egyptian cow.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, cattle. So let's get down here like this. Okay. I'm the Egyptian cattle. You're the Israeli cattle.
Okay.
And we're talking.
Okay. Move.
Move. And then God gives this decree to Moses, and he says if he doesn't let his people go, then the Egyptian cattle will die and the Jewish cattle will live. Thank you.
I think it's time for an offering. Could you all give it to
me? There's a separation. There's a separation going on here. The Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. There shall nothing die of all the children of Israel's. Do you remember not too long ago where there were horses that were at this demonstration and I don't know how many of them fell over and died? That must have been a sight to see. To see all of the horses beginning to fall. Does anybody remember how many horses died? How many? 20-something, 30, between 20 and 30 horses died. Now here you've got horses, lots of horses. And then this one goes down, that one goes down. And that's what happened in Egypt. That's what was taking place. This is serious. It doesn't look very serious, but this is serious. Because really, the closer we come to the coming of the Lord Jesus, the more this thing is heating up, and the more the devil is trying to stop us and stop the word from flowing out of us and stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, he cannot do it. He cannot do it. Same conditions, different results. Look at, where are we? In verse 26, chapter 9, verse 26. Only, it says, in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. So there's another demonstration of that separation. Look at chapter 10, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. It does not matter how dark it gets. There is light in the land of Goshen. There is light in our homes. There is light in our lives. This last one in chapter 11, look at verse 4. Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go into the midst of Egypt, And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the main servant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there be any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how the Lord, that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. That's where we are. That's where we are. We are in this world. We are not of it. And if you are willing to stand and believe God, you can be in the midst of this thing. And while it seems like everybody around you is going down and failing, you are thriving. You are prospering. Pastors, don't ever catch yourself saying that the summer months are the hardest months of the year. No, you turn that around. You're not affected by that old statistic. That's what the Word of God is for, to destroy worldly statistics. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. I want to look at another example of this separation. Same conditions, different results. Same condition, different results. Jeremiah chapter 17. And look at verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man, makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. Now this is what this man is going to be like. He'll be like the heath in the desert. That word heath there means a stunted shrub. He will be like a heath or a stunted shrub in the desert that shall not see when good comes. See, this man, this cursed man, this man that trusts in man, makes flesh his arm, and has, whose heart has departed from the Lord, it says here that he will not even see when good comes. You know, people out there are blinded even to the good that is out there available to them. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord today?
Yes.
Whose hope and confidence is in the Lord. Do you have your hope and confidence in the Lord today?
Yes.
Well, this is who that man will be. And again, we're talking about same conditions, but two different results, two different people here. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that shall spread out her roots by the river and shall not see when the heat comes. But her leaf shall be green. That word green there means to thrive and flourish. Her leaf shall be green and shall not be anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Another translation says that this blessed man will never stop producing fruit. Now, the conditions that the cursed man and the blessed man were in were the same conditions. Same conditions. The conditions that we're talking about here was the year of the drought. We read it. It was the year of the drought. And the cursed man who trusts in the arm of man and whose heart was not in God, that man experienced the heat of the year of the drought. The blessed man who trusts the Lord and whose hope and confidence was in God, in the year of the drought, it said that his roots were spreading out. He was like a tree that was planted by the water. Picture this. Picture a desert. Just a vast wasteland of desert. Dry, no rain. And in the middle of that desert, there is a huge pine tree. Not just a little shrub or a desert-like tree. I'm talking about a Wisconsin thick, big. Y'all have trees, right? Trees. Trees. I'm talking about tree. You go up to it and smell it. Ah. Whose roots are going down deep. Now picture that in the middle of a desert. That's who you are.
That's right. Come on.
And everything around you is green. Everything around you is green. Same condition, same economic condition, but you're different. You are the blessed man. You are the blessed woman. You are the man and the woman. You are the man of the covenant. You are the woman of the covenant. And in the middle of that dryness and in the middle of that year of drought, your roots are going down deep. You do not stop producing fruit. See, in the middle of an economic thing like this, those statistics, they'll go up and they go down and they go up and they go down. Our chart looks like this. We just keep going up. We just keep producing fruit. No matter what. Say no matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what, you and I keep producing fruit. We keep moving on. Why? Because we are not moved by the conditions that are around us. On the contrary, we are like that tree planted by the river of water. Our roots are spreading out. We are always producing fruit. It's a supernatural thing. It's a supernatural thing. Same condition, supernatural results. There's a family that comes to our church. They drive down from Oklahoma. And it's probably a 2 to 3 hour drive that they come down. They come to our services. They want to be fed the Word of God. And every year we have Pastor George's watermelon birthday party. Every year. You need to check our schedule along July. Every year we have an outdoor watermelon party. You ought to fly out to Texas. It's really something to behold. And so it gives me the opportunity to visit with our congregation, walk around, talk to them and so forth. And I was talking to this couple from Oklahoma. And she started telling me her testimony about how dry it has been up in Oklahoma. They need rain up in there. She has a garden. And she's living out in this rural area. And she said all of her neighbors have gardens. Now listen, same condition. Same condition. She said all of her neighbors' gardens are dried up. You understand what I'm saying? I said dried up. Everything's dried up. All of the vegetation in it, you just break it in half. Weeds are growing up in these gardens around her. Her garden is flourishing. It's green. She said also there are no weeds in it. She doesn't have to weed her garden. And she said, Pastor George, she said, next week I'll bring you a watermelon from my garden. Well, she brought me a watermelon. It was that long, that thick, and I just did not have the heart to cut that thing. I just looked at it. It was like a demonstration of the glory of God. And then I finally ate it. But then, what was it? Yeah. She was obedient to the Lord, and she was eating the good of the land. She was like this person in Jeremiah 17. In the midst of the year of drought, she was flourishing. You know something? In the midst of the year of drought, you flourish. In the midst of the year of drought, you thrive. Your business is thriving. Your family is thriving. Your life is thriving. Why? Because we have been delivered from, cut away from, sanctified from the world. We're in it and we're not of it. Give God praise for that.
Hallelujah!
Turn to the book of Luke. Look at the book of Luke. I'll give you another example of this. I just want you to get this down into your spirit. I want you to see that there is a difference. You know, that's why we have to pray. We've got to pray for people out there. They are struggling. They have no hope. They don't know this. And that's why we have to get out there and minister to them, preach to them, and go on television. Get on TV in spite of what anybody says about us. And just preach the uncompromised Word of God. And get people free from the bondage of the curse of the law. Christ has separated you out of the curse of the law with a wall of redemption so that you can walk in the blessing of Abraham. I am blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. Everything I set my hands to, it is blessed. Everything that I set my hands to, it is blessed. It is blessed. You know, it's encouraging sometimes to go online and see what businesses are actually flourishing in a time like this. I know one business in particular. It's the people that run Hobby Lobby. And Hobby Lobby people are the ones that came to ORU. They have given ORU at ORU's lowest point several years ago. I was on the board. I was the chairman of the board. I was there when we were going through a most difficult time. And they came in right in the middle of that. And they started out with a $10 million gift. The Lord had put ORU on the heart of David Green, the CEO. He just made the Forbes list, that top wealthiest men in the nation list. He just made that list. They gave $8 million to begin with. And then all in all, in the time, because he was driving along one day and he heard about ORU on the news, and we came up that close to the doors of Oral Roberts University. It was that serious. It was that bad. But God. $55 million in debt. The university was $55 million. This is all public knowledge, so I'm not telling out of school. And so the Lord, the news is reporting this. So David Green is driving along, and he hears it on the radio. He hasn't had any kids that have gone to ORU. He barely knows about the university. And the Lord dropped ORU into his heart and said, help those people. Came up to ORU, sowed an $8 million gift. And that was in November of that year. It got us through the rest of the year. It helped us from keeping those doors closed. And the long and short of it is that they have given in excess of $100 million to the university. Hallelujah! The deficit, and that was one of the things as chairman of the board, when I came in, I had a list of things that we were believing God for, and one of those things we were believing God for was to wipe out the debt. And little did we know the word wipe out, I mean, wipe out the debt. And the last report that I heard, the debt was under $700,000. From $55 million down to $700,000. Oral Roberts University is thriving right now. It is thriving. In the midst of an economy like this, the Lord put the university on a man's heart. And he came, gave to it, stirred up the alumni, stirred up the giving, and they are nearly out of debt. Now, point being, we had the very best first quarter that they've ever had in their history this year. The best first quarter, when everybody's closing up shop. Here, we have some people that believe the covenant, and they believe in sowing seed. They believe in giving. And those people have had the best first quarter. They are thriving in the midst of the year of drought. Luke chapter 6, it says here, verse 47, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man that built a house, dug deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that hears the word and does not do the word, he is like a foolish man that without a foundation builds a house upon the earth, against which the same stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Same storm. Same condition, two different results. You've got the man and the woman of God standing over here in this house. They are hearers of the word and they are doers of the word of God. They are putting into practice what they are learning, and that storm hits their house. And it says it could not be shaken. It could not be shaken. Men and women of God and of the covenant cannot be shaken. You can't shake us. You can't shake us. Why? Because we are rooted, grounded in the Word of God. But on the other hand, we're talking same storm, but this one over here is the hearer of the Word, but not a doer. There's no foundation, and the storm wipes him out. Same storm. Same storm. Same flood. Wipes him out. This one's delivered. Same condition. Two different results. I want you to look at one last scripture with me, Genesis 26. And to me, this is the ultimate example of living in the midst of a depressed economy and prospering, thriving, flourishing in it. Listen, it doesn't matter what your job is. It does not matter at all. Your income is not based on your job. Your income is based on your life of sowing and reaping and believing and receiving and walking with God. I like what Brother Copeland has said before about people who've complained about the airplanes that we fly in. And how he's told people before, if you have need for an airplane, you can believe God for one yourself. Just like he said, if a janitor had a need for an airplane to go preach the gospel, he could believe God for one and God will get it to him. Well, in that same way, if you believe God to wipe out that debt, supernatural debt cancellation in your life, if you kick it into gear, if you want to be out of debt and you kick it into gear and start standing on those scriptures and believing God and confessing it, you'll be out of debt in no time. He'll get you out of debt, not waiting 30 years to be out of debt, but I'm talking about debt freedom now. That is a supernatural act of the Spirit of God that is available to each one of us. Say out loud, I'm debt free.
I'm debt free.
I receive debt cancellation.
I receive debt cancellation.
Supernatural cancellation.
Supernatural.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
And people will look at you funny. They'll look at you cross-eyed and think, they're crazy. Family.
Ugh.
Family. We'll look at you and say that you've gone off the deep end. But I'll tell you, I'd rather jump off that deep end and be debt-free and walking in the prosperity of God and stay on that other side and walk just scraping together life every day. You were not meant to live paycheck to paycheck. Say, I'm delivered from paycheck to paycheck. My family is thriving. Not just surviving. My family is flourishing.
We are not failing.
In the name of Jesus. Let me read this scripture to you. In Genesis, let me get over there myself. Genesis 26. In verse 1, Genesis 26, and there was a famine, economic downturn in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Verse 2, and the Lord appeared to Isaac, said, do not go down into Egypt. Stay in the land which I tell thee of. Stay there. God needs you here. God needs you where you are. God needs you right where you need to be. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. I will bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give you all these countries, and I'll perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I'll make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. I'll give to your seed all these countries, and your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And it says in verse 6, Isaac stayed there. He stayed in this economic time of famine. And then in verse 12, Isaac sowed in that land. Now, I did some study about this, and I found out that not only before the famine, this was the worst part of the land to sow into. I mean, it was already bad. You add a famine to it, and it's worse. It's the worst kind of soil that you could sow into. But God. I said, but God. God will make something to thrive in the most impossible condition and situation. I use this illustration when Brother Copeland has told people have told Brother Copeland in the past, oh, you don't want to have a meeting there. He said, that's no place to have a meeting. Those people are not responsive. It's not very financially good there. You know where he's going. You know where he's headed. We're going to have a meeting. We're going to have a meeting. And we're going to change some things. I noticed this over the years at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. So many times when they go and they preach, especially into places where there's a drought, it rains. It rains. It rained. What was the last one? There was one just recently. Is it Australia? That's right. There's a famine. There was a drought in Australia. We went out there, preached, and it rained. And that's God causing it to flourish. He can do the same thing for you. Isaac sowed in that land, received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man waxed great. He went forward. He grew until he became very great. He had possessions of flocks, herds, and a great store of servants. And so we find here in this classic example that Isaac flourished in that time. He flourished in that season. He flourished in that land. He flourished in the midst of that famine. One of the scriptures that I found that talks about this says that we laugh at a time of famine. We laugh at a time of famine. Now, musicians, I want you to make your way up here, if you would, please. And let me just give you these last few things. What do we need to do that Isaac did to thrive in these times and stay separated from the world? What do we need to do? Let me give you a few things here. He kept obeying God. So you keep obeying God. You obey God and you stay right where you need to be. Your blessing is where your obedience is. That's where the blessing is. So you stay exactly where you need to be and you keep obeying God. You keep sowing seed. During a time of economic downturn, I dare you, I double dog dare you to go before God and say, Lord, show me where to sow. Show me where to sow some seed. Show me where to give. I want to give, Lord. I want to give more. Instead of drawing back and pulling back from it, Isaac sowed in that time of famine. And so in a time of famine, you just get out there and you sow. You be led by the Spirit and you sow. You keep tithing. You keep tithing. Don't stop tithing. You keep tithing. You keep putting that tithe in. That's where the open windows of heaven come from. Now, you say, Pastor, how do you know that Isaac tithed? He looked at his father Abraham. He was with his father Abraham. Abraham tithed, and I'm sure he taught Isaac how to tithe. So you've got to keep obeying God. Wayne, go ahead and begin to play. You've got to keep obeying God. You've got to keep sowing seed. You've got to keep tithing. Isaac walked by faith. Thank God for the message that Brother Steve preached to us today. Isaac walked by faith. He would dig a well and they'd bury it back up. I mean, he was a candidate for a victim mentality. He was a candidate for giving up and leaving. He was a candidate to throw it all away, throw in the towel. But he did not get weary in well-doing. He did not throw in that towel. No, he stood and he believed and he walked by faith and he just went out there and he dug another well. They buried it up again. He dug another well. They buried it up and he dug it again. In this last one, he hit a gusher. Leroy Thompson says a gusher. He hit a gusher. And I believe with all of my heart that as you do these things that we're talking about this weekend, you're going to hit a gusher too. You got a gusher coming in your life. See, he daily loads you with benefits. He daily loads you with benefits. Have you received the daily load yet? You know, you're not limited. You're not limited to one good load a year. Some of us think that, wow, Aunt so-and-so died and we got an inheritance and I guess that's it for a while. No, bring it on. Bring it on. It says he daily loads us with benefits. So Isaac obeyed God. He kept sowing seed. He kept tithing. He kept walking by faith. And I'll finish up. You don't have to turn there. But the scripture that Steve read, his last scripture, I'm going to end with that scripture too. But I'm going to use it in just a little bit different context. In Psalm 92, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish and thrive in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall prosper and flourish. Now, last point that I want to bring out to you is here it says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Stay connected to your church. Can I get an amen, pastors? From the amen section of our pastors. Stay connected to your church. The Lord has for every individual the gift of a pastor. The gift of the pastor belongs to you. You need to find the pastor that you need to go sit under and receive from and be a blessing to. But that man and woman of God have been given to you as a voice from God to speak into your life. And your prosperity is going to be really where your church is. That place of prosperity is going to be where your church is. I guarantee that people that are faithfully attending church are people that are thriving. There's a book that we heard about on CBN, and it was the guy that wrote this book. It's a book about statistics. And do you remember that, Terry, when he was talking about how if people attend Sunday service, they will live an extra 7 years. People that attend church live an extra 7 years. Then he said people go to church on Wednesday nights, they go for another 5. So, hey, I want us to go before the Lord. I know that you are believing God for some things in your life. I know that there are things in your life, whether it's a debt situation or your family or bills, long-standing bills that have been stubborn bills that have been hanging on your neck. I'm speaking to those right now in the name of Jesus, and I command stubborn strongholds of bills to bow their knee right now to the name of Jesus. You have no authority in these people's lives, and I call them paid in full. Paid in full. Right now. Right now. Now, do you receive that? Do you receive? How many of you that applies to you? There's some things that need to be paid. Some things that need to be taken care of. We need to believe our way through this. We need to sow our way through this. I've watched Brother Copeland do this now for 34 years. I've watched him. Every time, and he's learned this early, but I remember this one particular time, the ministry was $1 million behind. And so, and it stuck right at that point for a long time. So Brother Copeland said, I'm going up to Arkansas. I'm going to spend some time at the prayer cabin. I'm going to find out from the Lord what we need to do. So he gets up there. He gets up to the prayer cabin. He goes before the Lord. And he says, Lord, we're $1 million behind. What do we do? He said, I want you to start giving 10% off of the top of all of the income of Kenneth Copeland Ministries and sow it into other ministries that are getting the word out to the poor. And he's like, Lord, we've got $1 million deficit here. And really, whenever you start talking to the Lord about need, he's going to talk to you about seed. Whenever you talk to him about need, he's going to talk to you about seed. So it's a good time to sow. And it's a good time to reap. It's a good time to tithe. It's a good time to go to church. It's a good time to stand in faith. It is a good time to obey God. I want you to stand up with me right now.